This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
This is the third summer in the last four that we are speaking to prolific writer Humphrey Hawksley. He's a foreign correspondent for the BBC who is also an espionage thriller writer. We first met him when we talked about his novel Man on Ice back in 2019. Then last year it was Man on Fire, and somewhere in between there, he also released Man on Edge. Well, the summer of 2022 adds another major Rei Kozenna thriller to the canon. This one is called Ice Islands. Humphrey joins us once again via Skype from London. Hi, Humphrey.
Peter, so good to hear from you again. I really love our regular chats.
Nice to hear from you as well, too. I got to ask, since you are so prolific, is this a symptom of the pandemic that we have been through, or have you always just written at this torrid pace, even though you have a busy life beyond writing?
I think it's because in my background I'm a journalist, a newsroom hack essentially, and I'm up against deadlines, and if I don't have a deadline, I tend to set myself one, and I think with publishers and doing sort of two jobs, you do the journalism and you do the publishing. The publishing world is very different, but they do have their deadlines. And I think, well, I'll try to do one a year or one a year and a bit. And on the Rei Kozenna series, that seems to be what's happening.
Now, when it comes to writing these stories, again, being so prolific, are you the type of person who it just comes to you naturally? And do you have to focus on the story you're writing at the moment? And by that, I mean, do you ever come up with ideas and say, oh, I'm not going to use that here, but I'm going to put it in the next book?
I tend to come up with ideas for the thrillers of something that's sort of crossed my desk, and I've never been quite sure what to do it journalistically. And then I will say, well, let's look into this a bit further. I mean, maybe there's some truth in it. Maybe there's a fiction story that can be done out of it. It's anchored in credibility because I do geopolitical espionage, military type of thriller. So there's got to be a credibility attached to it. And in this one, something did cross my desk. And I talked to a friend, actually, or a contact with the FBI, or they contacted me over something else, and they said, are you doing another thriller? And I said, yeah. They said, well, do you want some help with it? And I said, well, can you get me somebody that might know about this? And this happened to be a presidential executive order going back in 2011, an Obama-era order, where he named four types of organized crime groups that were a threat to American democracy. And I looked at this, and there was a Russian one, there was an Italian one, and there was a Latin American drug cartel one, which were all, you know, grist to the mill. And then there was the Japanese Yakuza. And I thought, hold on a moment. Japan is meant to be America's closest ally and an example of great democracy in Asia. Why are they a threat? And that was what the premise of Ice Islands came to be, because I rang up or I got put in touch with an FBI agent who was a specialist in East Asia. And I said, I think you might be familiar with this, Peter, you know, being in the same trade. I said, look, I know I've got this really crazy, wacky, stupid idea, but can I run it by you? And you can then tell me whether there's anything that I can do with it. And I said, well, I've got this crazy idea about Japanese organized crime being a threat to America. And he said, Humphrey, just stop that. He said, for my whole career, I've been trying to get the government to take notice of this problem.
Wow.
And we talked for about 90 minutes on this secure, encrypted, coded line or whatever they'd set me up with, because it was the height of the pandemic. We couldn't meet. And I took the notes of it. I took it down. And then I based Ice Islands around, I mean, it was, you know, that conversation plus many others after.
So we know that the Yakuza is involved in this particular story. What is the story of Ice Islands?
The story of Ice Islands is that Ray Kazena, who has been my hero throughout this, and he comes from Little Diomede, which is the island, the Alaskan island, right on the Russian border. So he's a tough guy. He's a wild man. He's used to inhospitable terrains, cold weather, and he's a major, technically a major in the Alaska National Guard. And from that, he had been deployed to Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan and places like that. So he's got all that metal plus the Alaskan Little Diomede element to him. But in this case, it begins on the Åland Islands, which is in the Baltic Sea, in the middle of winter. And he is sent there to try to win the trust of a rejected daughter from Japan's most powerful crime family. And at the same time, there's a murder on these islands. And I should say that the Åland Island itself is the Åland Islands is very interesting because it's between Finland and Sweden. And after the First World War in the 1920s, it was the flashpoint for another regional or global war because it's predominantly Swedish, but it's Finnish territory. And the British brokered a peace there, which holds today. And they have a peace institute there, which is about conflict resolution. So I set this scene where all of these characters from various conflicts, like Sunni Shia from Iraq and Protestant Catholic from Northern Ireland and Palestinian Israeli, and I even had the left and the right in the US, came there for a conference. And then there was the Russia-Japan element of it because of a little-known dispute up between Russia and Japan, which is where the daughter, the rejected daughter of the crime family, and a Russian delegate was there. And the Russian delegate gets murdered, and then mayhem and chase and hunt begins there because Ray Kazena has to keep Sarah Kato, the rejected daughter of the crime family, safe. And she is his in into that family to find out what is going wrong.
I know I asked you this one of the last times we chatted, but since you are a foreign correspondent with the BBC and you also write these thrillers, you have to walk this fine line between fact and fiction and dealing with the people you have to deal with in your so-called day job with the BBC. And the reason why I bring it up again is we all know that the Russians can hold a grudge, and they're more of a pariah in world society now, what with what's going on in the Ukraine, than they were when I last spoke to you. So I'm just wondering if you hear anything through back channels about complaints of characters or scenes that you've written in either current or past books, and does it make you think when you're writing in the future when you talk about Russia?
Well, that's a fascinating, tightrope question there. I have been, technically speaking, although I work for them, I've been off BBC staff, as it were, and this is what they would say if something happened, for some years now, so only on contract. And in Moscow, we have a very good, our Moscow editor, who is technically under these dreadful new laws that came in February or March, early March, whereby if you say something wrong, you can get jailed for 15 years. It's not just getting expelled from the country, it's being thrown into prison in the country. And as you say, Peter, I mean, since we last spoke, the world has sort of been turned upside down in a way, because all of the material that a thriller writer could write about projecting what might happen has in fact happened. You've had a sovereign country, sovereign European country invaded by a nuclear power that is threatening nuclear war. You've got a massive sanctions on Russia that unimaginable even a year ago. And from all that, you've now got the rising fuel and food prices, warnings of famine in the developing world, and all of the sort of dystopian catastrophes that we dream up as thriller writers. And I think it is very different, but just to on your point, which is about the journalism and sort of upsetting the Russians when you're writing in that, in my experience, and I've written a lot about the Chinese as well and other things, is that they rather like it because they are, in fact, the villains and the heroes of their own story. So they separate it off in a way from the journalism. And then there's the thriller writing. And I did a book, I mean, many years ago called Dragon Strike, which was about China starting a war with America in the South China Sea. I then happened to be the Beijing correspondent for the Beijing bureau chief for the BBC. The people that I was dealing with pulled me in and said, you don't really think we're this violent, do we, as a country? The Chinese sort of minder said. And I said, no, but you know, it's a fiction. He said, yes, but I just want to tell you, my bosses love it because you make us far more powerful than we really are.
Well, I'm sure the bosses loved it. I'm sure maybe even the Russians love it. And I'm sure when it comes to the current book, your readers will love it because, again, you're very, very successful, very prolific. And while you put them out very, very quickly, I'm sure there's a lot of people who still can't wait for when the next one comes out. The current one, the one that's just out, is called Ice Islands. And Humphrey, I thank you once again for being on the program with us.
Well, thank you, Peter, for having me. I always enjoy our conversations with you in Montreal. We often have some back chats, don't we, afterwards to exchange views.
Humphrey Hawksley, author of Ice Islands. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, check out the show for this number, which is show number 0674, and you'll find links to Humphrey's site, plus links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order his book directly.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.